Who wrote it back?
All right. We're rolling?
Yes, sir.
All right, well, call to order. Regular meeting of the Park Board of Trustees of the City of Galveston Finance and Operations Committee. Today is Tuesday, January 10th, 2023. Happy New Year. 1:30 PM, we are at Park Board Plaza, first floor, 601 Tremont, here in Galveston. We'll start the call to order, which I did. Pledge allegiance.
Pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Right. Roll call. Jason Hardcastle is not present. Jeff Osenkopf?
Here.
Spencer Priest?
Here.
Will Wright?
Here.
And from staff, Bryson Fraser, Michelle Heidenberger here, Kelly is also here, and we've got our chair with us today as well, Marty Fluke. Any conflict of interest declarations from anyone? Seeing none? Request to address the committee? No? Had none? All right. Moving on to item six, discuss and consider approval of November 8, 2022 meeting minutes.
I'll move to approve.
Motion from Spencer?
I'll second.
Second from Jeff. Any other discussion? All in favor? Unanimous by those present. Moving on to item seven, discuss and consider approval for bus stop lighting repair at Urban Park. Vince, come on up.
Good afternoon, Mr. Chairman, members of the board. Before you today is a project to repair the bus stop lights along the seawall along Urban Park. Right now today, some of those lights are inoperative and are in need of complete repair and replacement. The proposal that you have before you is utilizing a buy board contract with Crescent Electric. Crescent Electric is who you've seen on some of the major projects recently with the city and with the park board. This is a not to exceed contract amount. Until we go to each particular bus stop and actually pull the components apart, we will not know exactly which items need to be replaced in our diagnostics. We will test everything. We'll make sure that the systems are to full operating capacity. To accomplish that, this would be a not to exceed amount of $31,033.24. This is in our budget, in our operations and maintenance budget that was approved earlier this year and is something that was planned. If you have any questions, happy to address them.
Yeah, how many bus stops would this cover? Or are we kind of going on a fishing expedition to see how much work needs to get done and then you'll know?
This is for all bus stops, and I apologize, I don't recall how many there are, but this is would be all the bus stops along the seawall itself.
Okay. Will?
Just random, you said this was expected. Is this kind of also expected for the lifespan of the products?
So the how this project came to fruition last year when we were doing our annual inspections, we noticed that there was some corrosion and some conduits and things along that fashion that were not working correctly or starting to fail. We brought it to the city's attention. Through discussions with city staff, it was determined that we would go ahead and plan for this in this year's budget for part of a repair and maintenance as a deferred maintenance component. As far as useful life, I apologize, I don't know how long they've been in place. I think that some of those lights have been not operating for quite some time, but I would expect, you know, again, they are battery operated and solar panels that charge them. They're not commercial electric. So I would guess you've got about a 3 or 4 year life cycle with these conditions.
Any other questions or discussion? Not looking for a motion. Motion from Will. Second from Spencer. All in favor? Unanimous by those present. Thanks, Vince. Moving on to item eight. Discuss and consider approval of lease agreement with Visual Edge IT for Park Board.
You can do this on Jacqueline if you want. Jacqueline was going to come do it for me. Hi. So
So back in 2020, August, kind of when Michael Mosier was leaving, Bryson came on. Bryson worked out a new agreement with our provider for the copier machines that we have. We have two high volume copier machines upstairs. They're networked printers. A lot of people just print to them. They don't have individual printers. And then we use them for copies, scanning, those kinds of things. We've started been having some problems with them. I think part of it was we got them in August and we weren't really using them very much. And they sat close to being more idle than use. And now that we're really using them, they're not working very well. So we spoke with Visual Edge, and they have come back and offered us two new machines that would meet more of our needs. Our contract currently is through 2025. This would be, they would honor the same rate of the monthly rate for both machines. Of course, they want us to sign another five-year contract. But they did reduce the cost of overages. We don't do a lot of black and white overages, but we do periodically have, or I should say most monthly, we do have some color copy overages. And it's not worth going up to the next color level because that's way too expensive. So these machines, they say, are much more efficient for what we need. So we're just seeking approval to just go ahead and sign a new agreement with them and get two new machines. I honestly do not know. That's a good question.
Just wondering if we're spending $2,000 a month. How much does it cost $2,000 a month for 5 years?
Well, that includes all of the maintenance and the toner cartridges. So that's all inclusive. We don't pay for toner cartridges. It automatically ships them when they get low. Same thing for the maintenance. We don't pay any kind of maintenance costs for it. So it's all inclusive for both machines.
So many copies in black and white a month included, and then so many in color, and then when you hit that, you start getting charged.
Correct. Yeah, it's and again, we don't go over in black and white very much. That's rare. We do that kind of in the summer when they're starting to prep for the new hires and they start building packets. But again, it's not rare. She did drop the price, you'll see, quite a bit significantly for the overage. The color copy isn't too bad. We spend maybe a couple $100 a month sometimes on the color overages, so this will save us a little bit. And one of the, just to throw out there too, the contract that we have that expired in 2025, they will replace that contract with this one, but if we choose not to go this route, we still have to honor the 2025 contract. There's no cancellation clause in it. Thank you.
All right. Discuss and consider approval to award contract to Vanguard Truck Centers of Houston for Visit Galveston Box Truck with Liftgate.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Good afternoon, committee members. I am here to speak with you today to discuss and consider the opportunity to purchase a box truck for Visit Galveston. I start on page 10 of your packet. Basically, with all of the assets that we have acquired, including Vincent, the vending machine, the transportation costs, rental fees, and everything associated with transferring our assets, as well as Island Soul Distribution, we are in the need of having a box truck to our soul selves. In past, it has been discussed about leasing said vehicle, but because of the size of Vincent, there's not a vehicle in place that has those the measurements that we would need to fit Vincent within it, as well as the vending machine stopgap on the lift gate and so many other things that were specified in the specifications that we put out to a sealed bid. And Vanguard was the sole responder to this bid request. Therefore, I'm coming to you in to discuss and consider the approval of the purchase. Welcome any questions you may have.
One thing to note about this is it's still However, this is also one of the unfunded projects, and what I mean by that is we were funded through the ordinance change to keep only so much maintenance and operations money. Right? Capital items like this were not included in what we were funded, so it's unfunded, if you will. So this would be something that will also have to go through the approval process through TDAC and through the board, but then we'll have to request that funding from the city this upcoming quarter, is what we anticipate happening.
Can I clarify something for myself? Unfunded is not the same as unapproved. It was in the budget, and so it's approved. It's just that it needs to be part of the disbursement that we ask for in the next disbursement cycle.
Yes. Yes.
Okay. So maybe if it's approved, then it's contingent upon having the money in-house.
That's correct. That's a good way to guess. Better way to phrase it. Yeah. It was approved, but it just hasn't been funded.
Okay. So probably not the first time this concept arises at this table. Mm-hmm. So in general, we can recommend things for approval from this committee to then go up to the board to then approve things to then go up to council to then approve them, or to somebody in the city manager's office to approve things.
It becomes part of our funding request. So there's a lot of that stuff still needs to get negotiated, but right now what's being spitballed is that we would do quarterly funding requests. We would wrap up these kinds of items into that funding request. Moving forward, we'll be budgeting and doing our cash flow projections on a quarterly basis as well to help fuel what those funding requests will look like.
Okay. And I think it'd be helpful at this table when things are requested to be for approval or not, a recommendation or not, to delineate what is funded versus unfunded here so we understand what bucket that sits in at this stage.
Jacqueline, do we need to have step stool included in the price too? Because I'm trying to picture you driving. Okay.
It comes with everything we could possibly need.
You got to make a motion after that.
I'll move to approve.
The motion has been a
very inefficient process.
I'll second.
Motion from Spencer, second from Will. Discussion. All in favor? Unanimous by those present.
Thank you.
All right. Moving on to item 10, discuss and consider approval of scope of work and process for third-party cash balance audit prices.
Okay. Thank you, Mr. Chair. On December 8, 2022, City Council passed an ordinance that required the Park Board to transfer all POC cash in its possession, plus the 120 days of reserves and 112 days of maintenance and operations to the city's designated account. And on December 22nd, we did that. We transferred approximately $14.2 million to the city pursuant to the ordinance and the city manager's direction. The city manager did have final decision-making authority in that ordinance to what the transfer would look like. And included in the transfer is what we consider $4.1 million in non-HOC cash that the city believes is either HOC cash or at least should be restricted like HOC cash. The Park Board believes at the very least a portion of the $4.1 million is unrestricted, and we had originally proposed a transfer of about a little bit under $10.1 million. That was based off the actual HOC cash we had in the bank, not that this additional $4 million that we consider not HOC cash. To ensure full compliance with the ordinance, the board on December 13, 2022, authorized staff to solicit a third-party auditor to look at the Park Board's cash reconciliation procedures and cash balance classifications. The goal, of course, to make sure that we're doing everything appropriately, which we think that we are, but we want that validation, and to ensure that we comply with the ordinance, any GAAP or GASB standards, and established Park Board policy, and to ensure that calculation of money that we transferred over was the appropriate amount. At the December 21st, 2023 board meeting, the board did express interest in involving the city auditor in the process of establishing the scope of work for the audit and considering auditor recommendations from the city. Shortly after that December 21st meeting, I was contacted by the deputy city manager. He expressed that the city supports the effort of the audit, but may want to expand on the scope. More specifically, the city is interested in auditing HOP from receipt through final disposition. And per the deputy city manager, one of the goals of the audit is to achieve a result that can be used to define, quote unquote, the best accounting practices in the use of HOC going forward. The deputy city manager asked the Park Board to consider jointly developing agreed upon procedures with the city. Okay. So Park Board staff believes that an audit can be done efficiently and that we can answer a lot of these questions in at but I think we can accomplish our goals and address the city's concerns through a limited capacity audit. The assistant city manager, I spoke with him late last week, and the assistant city manager for finance, excuse me, Mr. Lofton. We did discuss the challenge of managing and accounting for unrestricted funds and unrestricted funds as the subject of an audit. Trying to determine the exact source of all of this unrestricted non-hot cash is going to be all but impossible. We've been going back years and years and years and years and years, further back than what we're even required to keep records for. So it makes it a really challenging task, okay, to open it up that much. We don't think that we need to do that. We think that we can keep the audit limited and have a look at our cash reconciliation procedures. Are we accounting for cash the way that we should? Is our bank reconciliations appropriate? And are we classifying the cash balances correctly in our financial statements? That's what we need to know, okay? And I think that that's something that we can achieve in a limited capacity audit, excuse me. In my discussions with the city finance director, he had mentioned that what he thinks needs to happen is these non-hot cash balances that the city considers restricted, they're gonna recommend, or he's gonna recommend an ordinance to restrict them, okay? The council would then take these unrestricted revenues and then restrict them moving forward. There's a number of issues with that. Is it a simple, elegant solution? It's a simple solution, and it does address the question of how we're going to treat these cash balances as moving forward, but here's the issue. We have plans for that cash. We want to be able to utilize it for the benefit of the city, tourists, and residents. In this 23 budget, we have projects scheduled at East Beach to do a ticket booth remodel. We have more projects at Seawolf that we'd like to get done. And we'd like to utilize this cash that we've built up over the last several years, you know, if not longer, and put it towards those efforts, because we feel like it is an unrestricted source. It's something that can be used to benefit the city, tourists, and residents. So for the city to pass an ordinance that restricts them, we have concerns with that, right? We're concerned with that. But I say all that to say, Mr. Chair, that's where we're at right now. The deputy city manager, excuse me, the assistant city manager for finance does agree that a full-blown, lengthy, costly audit probably isn't going to result in any sort of conclusions, and that we can get the information that we need and the validation that we need through a limited capacity audit. With that, Mr. Chair, there's essentially two recommendations for you to consider. One would be that the committee would proceed with the original scope and purpose of the audit, which would be in its limited capacity. I would recommend that the committee authorize me to work with the city finance director and the city auditor to flesh out exactly what that scope of work would look like. And it would be that same group of people, including our controllers, Stuart Smith would be involved in it as well. And we could review those audit results before being presented to the board and possibly the council. If the committee decides that they do want to consider expanding it per the deputy city manager's request, we recommend that you approve that scope of work as it's contained in the agenda item, and then of course still approve that technical review team to develop it. But staff believes that a limited capacity audit can achieve the goals and answer the questions that both the city and the park board has about our cash balance.
Thank you. So did I hear in your comments there, deputy city manager had suggested or brought forth the idea of a full audit. The assistant city manager for finance seemed to take a limited audit to give us the information we need.
Second motion.
And then he said that he, being Mr. Watson, said that he would socialize the idea of this ordinance and a limited capacity audit with his respective people over at City Hall. And I said that I would do the same thing.
Can I ask some questions for clarification again? And I know I've worked here forever, but I want to make sure that I'm using the same kind of language. You say up here that it wouldn't be that when the discretion, discrepancy between the money that you calculated and the city ultimately calculated is between restricted and unrestricted.
It's between hot cash and non-hot cash.
And that's different because do you clarify that? I think that goes to the grain. Do you clarify that differently than restricted and unrestricted?
Yes.
Can you help me understand that, please?
Absolutely. So a restriction is a limit placed on funding, on its use, usually by a law or an ordinance or something like that. Our non-hot cash that we have that represents things like advertising, sales, and stuff like that, there is no law or GASB standard that I can find that restricts. This is something that we vetted out. We
That would be like a FEMA reimbursement or something like that. Okay. But when it comes to advertising revenue and other sources along those lines, I just can't find any sort of law that would restrict it. In my discussions with the assistant city manager for finance, he agreed he can't find any sort of law that would restrict it either. It falls into a gray area. Now, it's my understanding that when you have something falls into a gray area, the governing body can decide to restrict it or unrestrict it. Far forward, unrestricted that resource, those resources, and utilize it in other areas, and we want to utilize it now moving forward with some of the parks. So that's really the distinguishing factor between the amount of cash that is restricted and unrestricted. It really depends upon the source.
I'm sorry, I had to drill down just a little bit more, if you don't mind. But ultimately, we treat it all like restricted because money that is for advertising, for example, in tourism development, there's not a lot of things that we're spending over there that we wouldn't be spending a hot tax on anyway, right?
Right. So let's look at it from some of these individual funds. If you look at it from beach cleaning perspective, there is no issue. Whether it's a hot reimbursement from FEMA or whether it's actual hot cash, it's restricted and going to be used for appropriate hot purpose in those areas. You can say the same thing for beach patrol. For the most part, you can say the same thing with tourism development. We're talking about a small portion of what we consider unrestricted that we would like to utilize for improvements at the parks. Not the full $4 million is not restricted. And that's hopefully a lot will help us flesh things out.
And should an ordinance be passed to restrict that money? How would they define that restriction?
Per my discussion with the assistant finance director, assistant city manager, finance director, they would consider any revenue source in beach cleaning, beach patrol, tourism development, or North Beach to be restricted as hot.
But can they define the nature of the restriction however they want the restriction to be enforced?
Yes.
Only for specific uses?
Theoretically, yes. They could define the restriction. Per my discussion with Mike Lofton, it wouldn't be just on their discretion. They would restrict it to 351-101 and any other uses in 351, tax code chapter 351.
May I ask a question?
Please.
Why would you restrict unrestricted cash? What's the ACFM's logic behind trying to restrict, put more restrictions on cash? I may be asking a question to you, no clue how to answer.
It's a difficult question to answer because I don't know the motives behind the governing body who would want to do something.
Well,
certainly,
hold on.
Yes.
I'm going to editorialize for a second. That certainly doesn't benefit the residents. That will benefit the tourists. I mean, there's no benefit to it.
I was going to say it a different way. Your predecessor always said to me it's best practice to try to unrestrict funding so that you had a little bit more flexibility with your resources, and especially because probably on the face of it, percentage-wise, 80% of our funding is restricted?
It's hard to put a percentage, but a big chunk of it is. But the majority of it, for sure.
So we're really talking about, even though we're talking about $4 million out of $14 million, which sounds like a lot out of the whole budget, really the majority of our budget is restricted. And what Mr. Mosher always said is that you wanted to unrestrict to be able to have greater flexibility. And in this particular case, we're trying to take some advertising money that we generated off schlepping advertising on the street and put it into the amenities of the parks.
I would call it, we're trying to use some of our unrestricted sources. I couldn't say that it's 100% from advertising revenue, but yes, that's a good way to sum it up. But you're right, theoretically, you want more unrestricted because that gives the governing body more leeway with what they can do with it. To kind of go to the other questions, some reasons why you might want to restrict some funding, well, you might generate a user fee or something like that. Typically, you'll probably want to restrict that to go back into the program that it was generated from, right? And things like that might be a reason. But in this case, you're right, we found some money that we believe was unrestricted and we wanted to put it to good use for the city, the tourists, and residents.
And just the last thing,
just
underscore that I've learned is that tourism development, hotel occupancy tax cannot be used for capital projects. And so if you restrict it, if you restrict pot, then you're not going to be able to do any kind of capital
conversation.
And I have one last question, and I'm just going to answer it to ask it to the air, which is, it doesn't seem, I understand how the city of Galveston, through state ordinance and prescribed state ordinance, could restrict the hot fund. I really struggle to understand how you can reach into another organization's coffers and restrict revenue generated money. I don't understand this.
That's, in my mind, that presents a legal question, because I thought about that too. Can one governing body restrict the revenue source generated by a different governing body? It's not a revenue source that they created. Do they have the authority to restrict it? I don't know.
Like you said, though, it's the registration fee. That makes sense. And if you think about the registration fee for the short-term rentals, that the city council said this money's going to be used specifically for these uses, and we're going to allocate it for that, and it's not going to go with that. That was a conversation, because the folks that were going to have to pay it wanted accountability for it. That makes sense, but this isn't a fee that was levied by the city.
It's a charge for a service.
A charge for a service. Great.
So the ordinance solution you mentioned would be a simpler outcome here, simpler in that it avoids a larger audit?
It would certainly avoid a larger audit, because it wouldn't be necessary. I would still argue that a larger audit isn't necessary at this point. What it does is it just answers the question of this money. Is it the city thinks it's restricted? We think that we at least have a portion of it that's unrestricted. If they pass an ordinance that restricts it, let's say for the sake of argument, they can do that legally, then it's a simple solution in the sense that, all right, it's restricted and you treat it as such, and you treat it just like it would be a hot parent. But that hampers our ability to utilize it in ways that benefits the city tourism
revenues. Like building a new entrance fees.
Well, I don't see the point in us spending any time debating the merits of this, because it's 100% out of our control. So if we wanted to use this forum to say why we think it's a bad idea, I think people may have done that already, but going back and forth on what it may or may not do, or just talking into the air.
Mm-hmm.
So well, I'm just trying to bring it back to the point that we're voting upon here. Sorry to seem like you're kind of. But
that's what I wanted to just clarify. The original scope is what you're recommending. That's where you're going to meet again with the city auditor or steward, and who is the
and Mike Lofton, and see if we can. I'm going to draft the scope of work myself and then run it by that committee if the city is amenable to it. Finalize that scope of work, solicit an auditor, and then have that same group review the results before presentation to the board.
And the auditor. Is it third party? There was discussion that they wanted to use one of their auditors, correct?
We haven't had that specific discussion yet. They said that they might have some auditor recommendations. More than happy to entertain that.
I mean, it seems to me, as I hear your explanation of the events from December 8th to now, basically, the people most qualified to speak directly to this should be the people in financial positions here within each entity. And it seems like yourself and Mike Lofton seem to think a more limited scope audit would get us where we need to go here. So I tend to defer to the experts. If that's what both parties think, that seems to be more appropriate in my mind.
Yes. Based off of my conversation with him, I think we can both agree on that point.
But I was going to say, again, for clarification point, just because I'm learning some of this stuff, I feel, it seems to me that the difference between an in-depth audit and an audit process is these are the procedures we have, and these procedures got us to these numbers. And that's really what we want to know, because ultimately, wherever you get to the numbers, it is about what are the best practices we're going to institute. And so it makes sense, it seems, just to look at the process, because that should indicate what the numbers are going to say.
You're absolutely right. And that, in my mind, that was the original intent of the audit when the board called for it back in December, right? There have been some things that have been said about the way that we're handling this stuff, so let's have a third party come and validate our processes.
I'll also add, a full audit is a big time suck and a big brain drain from people in this organization. And we're having an expense. And right now we're trying to figure out how to direct our efforts as best we can toward back into the seems like if our job is to make sure we utilize our resources for the residents, for the tourists, the more limited audit, if we think it gets us where we need to go, it seems like the choice we have to make.
Mm-hmm. I agree with that, Mr. Chair, completely. And if it results in, you know, something we feel like we need to get in more depth, then we can bring that back up. But right now, I think a limited audit is definitely the way to go. Because not to mention, we're already engaged in a financial audit right now. Our typical external audit. And then the next item that we're going to talk about is a follow-up audit from the city auditors on our procurement processes. So I mean, there's a lot of oversight and review work already going on, but the limited scope is the best way to go.
Well, on top of years and decades of annual audits anyway.
Mm-hmm.
If we need a motion, I'm happy to make a motion to go along with the staff recommendation of the limited scope audit. I'm not sure how you clarify that anymore.
Just for the sake of the committee, if I'm, and correct me if I'm wrong, Will, it's the first paragraph, the first recommendation, the staff recommendation section.
Correct.
Yeah.
Yes. Thank you.
I'll second that.
Motion from Will, second from Jeff. Any other discussion? All in favor? Unanimous by those present. And we will stick with Bryce in here. He already teed himself up for this next agenda item. But item 11, discuss and review city auditor's request to schedule a follow-up audit on the park board's procurement procedures.
Yes. So, Mr. Chair, if you recall, back in 2021, park board staff worked with city auditor staff to develop our procurement policies manual that was approved in April of 2021. The city auditor's office gave some time to implement that policy, which we've been doing. And now they want to come and schedule a follow-up audit or review, if you will, to make sure that we're following that procurement policy. They're going to be looking at control activities, the information communication part of it is just discussion with management. Then they're going to monitor, which is looking at our procedures and controls in place and making sure that they provide reasonable assurance that we're following all the rules. I have gotten a chance to talk with Glenn about this. We're going to be scheduling a time and a place to do this. Shouldn't take more than a day or maybe two or three for them to get the information that they need, conduct their interviews, and be prepared to go and wrap up. Included in your packet is the engagement letter that we got from them, just so you can see that. And then there is an Appendix A. This is essentially the same follow-up that they did for the city of Galveston on their procurement procedures and controls. Ours might not look exactly like this, but it'll look very, very similar. I enjoy working with Glenn. More than happy to have him come over and look at this stuff and validate that we're following the procurement.
Will,
for historical knowledge, when this was agreed on in 2021, was there also the understanding that the city would potentially come back at some point just for a review on it?
Yes, so this was part of his FY22 and FY23 audit.
Okay.
Do we have capacity with everything else going on and then potentially now this limited scope audit to do this, which seems like it's not super time sensitive?
I did talk to Glenn and asked if he would give us a little bit of leeway to let us get through the month of January, finish our audit that's going on right now, and then schedule a time for them to do this other review, and he was amenable to that.
Okay.
Just on that note, I just want, if they're shutting things down your throat, that yes, we push back and say, no, I need this amount of time, that amount of time, any of these procedures.
You can also do that.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Just tell them.
Yeah, ask for help.
Yeah, you don't
have
to.
Yeah,
<That's good.
laughs> ask us to help.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Appreciate that. This wasn't a consideration item, it was just more FYI.
Okay.
Can I ask you a question?
Please.
This CMS system is a system that we voluntarily participate.
That's correct.
Did the Wharf Board participate as well?
I believe okay. That they did at least not as much as we did.
Because the city wanted the Wharf Board, the Park Board, and the city to use the same CMS system. And I know we voluntarily participated in this, and I don't remember whether the Wharf Board decided to not do it. Sorry, Mr. Chair.
All good. Moving on? Okay. Item 12, Sam Bryson. Discuss
policies enacted at this level and at the board level, and then the staff for making sure that they're adhering to their budget and finding creative ways to save money. Net income in 2023 was roughly $6.8 million. That's after FEMA. Excuse me. Of course, we all know it's the performance of the local and state hot collections that were responsible for most of this. But there's a couple things I'd like to point out. We did generate almost $1 million in FEMA reimbursements this year. And that's a major kudos to Cheryl for getting so many of these projects through that process and getting that money reimbursed to us. That was huge. We also had that $311,000 transfer from the GLO for Beach Patrol Services. Kudos to Kelly and crew for getting the GLO to agree to that. And then, of course, we had almost $200,000 in auction proceeds. I continue to be amazed at the residual value that Larry can find out of our old assets. It's amazing. Looking at the income statement, year-to-date operating revenues, not including interfund transfers, exceeded budget by about $6.4 million and totaled roughly $26.8 million. We already talked about the main reasons being HONT, the transfer from the GLO, and the FEMA reimbursements. But I do want to point out that those FEMA reimbursements can be broken down as follows. There was $188,000 for beach cleaning, $142,000 for Down Air Park, $393,000 for East Beach, which was a much-needed cash injection for that park, Stewart Beach at about $40,000, and then Seawolf Park at about $166,000, again, a much-needed cash injection. Overall, the year-to-date local hot collections were about $4.8 million higher than budget, and the year-to-date state rebate was about $2.1 million higher than budget. Total hot collections were $3.5 million higher than the 2021 actuals, which at the time were a record. Park admissions for FY22 were approximately $5.4 million, which is about $140,000 less than last year and about $52,000 lower than budget, but right there on the budget. Stewart Beach admissions were down compared to 21. But we all know that the drainage project kept the park closed through most of May. East Beach admissions were up about $130,000 though compared to last year. And like we've talked about, that's due to the increased visitation during the closure. And we think that the park has just gotten a little bit more popular as a result. Seawolf fishing revenue was down about $55,000 compared to budget and about $77,000 down compared to FY21. We all know that this is due to that flounder fishing moratorium. Like to point out that we thought it was going to be a $95,000 loss, but ended up being down about $77,000, so we did eat into that a little bit. So good job there. Fishing revenue might be down, but admissions at Seawolf Park were $42,000 over budget and $23,000 over FY21 actuals. That's both visitation at the Seven Ship and just regular admissions to the park. Seven Ship admissions were up $34,000 over budget and about $22,000 over FY21 actuals. I mean, that's huge when you think about the small operation that that is. Total revenue was a little bit lower than last year, about $79,000 lower than last year. Concession revenue totaled about $620,000 in FY22. That's roughly $69,000 over FY21 actuals. Grant revenues totaled $4.5 million. $1.5 million was from the GLO for the Stewart Beach Drainage Project, and the other $3 million was from TCEQ Restore for the Babes Beach BUDM. It was one big check that went out. We got that reimbursement in November. On the expense side, year-to-date operating expenses, excluding transfers, came in a little bit under $20 million, and that's roughly $2.9 million, or 12.8% lower than budget. Personnel expenses, and I think this is something that we've been tracking all year long, so I just wanted to take a minute to note it. Personnel expenses totaled roughly $10.3 million, and we're about $616,000 or 5.7 lower than budget, right? But it should be noted that the budget for personnel expenses as of August 31st was $912,000 under budget, and in May it was about $1.2 million under budget, and in March it was $1.4. The reason why I illustrate that is that shows that the changes that we've made over the last year, the increases to pay and stuff like that have helped improve employee retention. We're able to hire and recruit talent a little bit better, and we've reduced our employee turnover rate. But I would like to just point out, though, that there's still room for improvement, right? We've all talked about this in the past. And so also, as predicted, that variance continued to shrink as the year progressed, so kudos to the board for addressing some of our labor issues. It appears to be effective. On the material services and supply side, those totaled roughly $7.8 million, and that's roughly $884,000 or 10.1% under budget. Remember, we were looking at it during the year, and it looked like it was going to be way over budget. That's just a result of some of these capital items being budgeted in the very last month. So that's why you saw that variance get eliminated in the September and August. Capital outlay totaled about $1.2 million. When you're looking at the financial statements, you're gonna see that the actual capital outlay on here is a little bit less than what I'm saying it is. That's just because GASB requires us to capitalize those items for enterprise funds. So we, instead of expensing those out, Stuart will capitalize it and it will be a balance sheet item. So we did spend about $1.2 million on capital items this year. That included a wheel loader for CZM, a motor grader for CZM, a skid steer loader, for CZM. We did get some side-by-side vehicles for Beach Patrol, the wave boat for Beach Patrol. There was some of the improvements here at Plaza, replacement that you can see outside the building. We did spend about $453K on equipment and improvements for the mobile amenities project at Stuart Beach. There was the slab improvement project at Seawell Park, and then the sidewalk repair installation also at Seawell Park. Debt service total, that is the incorrect number in there, and I do apologize for that. I have the amount here. Debt service total $455,000, not $45,000. I apologize for the oversight. Those are payments on the line of credit, the plaza, and then the beach maintenance facility up the road on Church. FEMA expenditures totaled roughly $24K, and those included some small repairs from beach cleaning and some repairs and stuff at Stuart Beach and Seawell Park. On a balance sheet, I'm going to move to the balance sheet here really quickly. Our FY22 balance sheet, like always, is very, very healthy, not including Moody Garden. Total assets total approximately $46 million. Total liabilities, $13.2 million. So not a bad balance sheet at all. As of September 30th, cash totaled roughly $28.3 million. That's up $8.3 million from cash at 9/30. So that's our cash generation during FY22 was about $8.3 million. While the ending cash was historically strong, it should be noted that pursuant to the ordinances that were passed in December, you can pretty much take about half of that and get rid of it. And you'll see that in this upcoming financial statement for FY23. For a full picture of the cash flows, take a look at our statement of cash flows. Of the $28.3 million in cash, roughly $12.4 million is our operating cash, and $15.8 is our restricted cash. It should be noted, we talked about this a minute ago, but there was that $3 million payment to the GLO for the Bays Beach BUDM project. We accrued that back to FY22 using the accrual method of accounting, which we're required to apply. The cash was still in the bank at 9/30, so that's why you're seeing such a huge amount of cash there, too. That expense did clear the bank in October, and the expense is reimbursed by Restore in November, so that transaction has balanced itself out. On the financial ratio side, our current ratio is 3.7. Still a good current ratio, but that's down from where we usually are. Somewhere between 7 and 10% is typically where we fall. The reason why you saw such a significant decrease is there was about a $3.8 million increase in accrued liabilities, $3 million of which is that Bays Beach project, right? So we have a huge liability sitting there. That has worked itself out, so you should see an improved current ratio moving forward. We also have about $1.2 million in pass-through funds. When you see the pass-through funds on our balance sheet, that's the cash that we're holding for others. Most of the time, all of it is hot that we're holding for the city. Our quick ratio is 3, and that's just the measure of our current cash over current liabilities. 3 is a great ratio, but it is down from August for the same reasons that the current ratio is down. Our solvency ratio stayed pretty consistent at 0.94. That means that we have 94 cents in what we would consider unrestricted or operating cash for every $1 of total liability. So not bad. You know, anything over 0.2 is good. So to be at 0.94 is not bad at all. The debt to leverage ratio is 0.02. That just means that roughly about 2% of our total assets, not including the garden assets, are financed by debt. Anything less than 50% is good. And so there's room to take on some additional debt if the board feels that that's necessary. Right. On the hotel occupancy tax side, we did have a penny value of just under $3.3 million for FY22. Isn't that amazing? Mm-hmm. In FY21, it was still a record, and that was 2.5, so we're not talking small increases. In my mind, I think that we'll see pretty consistent penny values over $2 million, precisely because Airbnb and Verbo are paying now.
Over $3
million? Over $2 million. Over $2 million. I don't know if we'll get all the way back up to I think that when we budgeted for a $2.7 million penny value this year, still was relatively conservative, but the most aggressive we've ever been. I think somewhere between 2.7 and 2.8. outside of a couple of bad weather weekends, it's been pretty solid when we're looking at the Smith Travel Reports.
And that's all it's considered, just like a star report. It looks like 80 cars going down, so or maintaining occupancy, you're not going to grow that. Over 3.3 million.
Yeah. That might have been the
upper echelon.
Yeah. Short-term rental portion of the hot collections was 53% in FY22. 53%. And this year, it's basically holding at that rate now through the first couple of months of the year. So with that, Mr. Chair, staff recommends approval of the fiscal year 2022 year-end unaudited financial statement.
Thank you. Great job, and clear as always. Comments or discussion, anyone?
I guess we need a motion. Happy to make a motion on this.
Motion from Will. Second from Spencer. Any other discussion? Seeing none, all in favor? Unanimous by those present. All right, item 13, 2022 committee work plan.
Just a couple things I'd like to point out, Mr. Chair. I shouldn't say revamping, but I'm going to have to revise the budget projection process to now include for quarterly projections. What I mean by that, you get projections quarterly, but that's our projections for the end of the year. I'm going to have to revamp it to include projections for both the revenue and expense side for each upcoming quarter so we can develop these funding requests. But you should be seeing that coming in the next month or so. I wanted to give an update on the software implementation. I'll probably move that. It's still ongoing, but we hope to be implemented in the next 30 to 60 days is what we're hoping for. And then city wage assessment survey will probably have to push off. I would have loved to get all these things, but time has been sucked in other directions.
Understood.
Can I just ask a question on that? So when you do these quarterly reimbursements, was there anything set out in the ordinance that the city has this much time to get the money to us after submission?
No timing stipulation in the ordinance.
Ouch.
What was in the ordinance is that we'd have to negotiate it interlocal to address stuff like that between now and March. I do recall, and don't quote me, but if I'm recalling the ordinance correctly, there was a stipulation that we would provide reports, but that's basically all it says.
That's all it says. So what you're referring to on this question being funded, that just came from the deputy
superintendent. Assistant city manager for finance.
Oh, I think it came from
okay. It came from city manager.
Someplace, but yeah. So there's really no requirement.
Trying to get ahead of it.
Yep. Yeah. We want to make sure our work is fine. So.
All right. Any other discussion on the work plan? Okay. Item 14, future agenda items.
I kind of touched on that already, but here in the next couple of months, we'll get the financial audit too.
All right, item 15, announcements.
The Eagles are the number one seed in the NFC.
Stole my announcement.
Sorry, Mr. Chair.
No, happy to share that one. All right, well then with that.
Oh, what's great? How was the restaurant week?
Yes.
Restaurant week?
Yes.
Go out and eat, support your local restaurants. Go Birds, we're adjourned at 2:21.
Isn't it always
does anyone have a restaurant week? No one had
an actual week.
I got restaurants all the time.